The Tarlehurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlehurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to a very special and impromptu Tarlehurst End Podcast. I want to call it the Podcast Extra, but it's not. It's a Podcast Extra Extra, I suppose. We record live from Salford, although it's not live anymore because you're listening on a podcast. But regardless, much like the start to this podcast, the Steve Clarke saga is going all over the place. My name is Dan Wimbush and I'm joined by my regular Tarlehurst End Podcast co-host, Johnny Williams. Johnny, welcome back.
Yeah, I might get down the road to Manchester City at the moment. I don't like it around Salford way.
Yeah, we've lifted your suspension for this. Obviously, you've not been on the show for a while.
No, this is true. The main show.
Yeah.
I'm too bigwig for that now. I just come in for the extra ones.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm alternative.
Glamour.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we are up here in Salford for the Football Blogging Awards, of which the Tarlehurst End is nominated, so we should find out our fate in a few hours. But we thought we'd record a very quick show to give our thoughts on the Steve Clarke saga. And as well as Johnny and myself, we're joined by Miss Becky White. Hello.
Hiya.
And Simeon Pickup, Bucks Royal. Hello.
Hi.
So we've got a motley crew in here in this very glamorous budget Ibis hotel. Ladies, and trust me, this is glamour in here.
We'd say pull the curtain back, but it's a blind.
Yeah, we can see a corner of Old Trafford from the window, as well as the tram, getting that proper northern feel about it.
I've got a Shell petrol station outside my room.
Absolute glamour.
Yeah,
I've got a building site outside mine as well.
How much do you have to pay extra for that? Anyway, let's get down.
I've got a bed above my bed.
Oh.
That shouldn't happen.
Hotels with bunk beds are all the rage.
Yeah.
Right, let's get down to this. Obviously, the reason we are recording this is that Steve Clarke has been heavily linked with leaving Reading Football Club and joining Fulham as their new manager. These rumours started a little bit earlier in the week. It first surfaced on The Sun. They reported that Clarke was in a three-way battle with Paul Tisdale and Nigel Pearson for the Fulham job. A couple of days later, the Mirror come along and say that it was Clarke's job to turn down. Obviously, that sent the Twitterverse into meltdown. Charles Watts quickly confirmed that he had heard exactly the same thing. So we woke up on Thursday morning, fully expecting Steve Clarke to be confirmed as the new Fulham manager. As the day has gone on, more twists and turns. Seemed like there was a wrangling over compensation, according to some sources. Other sources said Clarke has spoken to them and has turned the job down. And now he wants to stay at Reading. The daily press conference that takes place every Thursday was cancelled. It's been rearranged for tomorrow. So as we sit here, it is 10 to 4. So by the time this goes live, things could very much have changed.
Yeah.
But as we sit here right now, it looks as if Steve Clarke wants to stay. Johnny, I'm going to start with you. Your initial reaction to this whole saga.
Have you ever been dumped and then the person comes back?
Of course not.
I'm
far too popular for that.
Well, you're always the one doing it, aren't you? You're the chairman in all this. And then the person comes back and says, actually, I really, really regret that decision. I want to come back. I want to come back. Stay with me. That's what this feels like. And I get that there's an argument that, you know, you're allowed to see what other jobs are out there, go for an application and things like that. But for it to become so open, in the open, it's ridiculous for the Reading fans to now think, well, this is a guy who has already tried once to see what better's out there and tried to turn his back on us, and you're just going to accept him back. And it's really put everyone in a very awkward situation, and you don't feel like it can go on much longer, to be honest, because Steve Clarke has now alienated at least some of the fans who don't support him. The chairman, or the chairwoman, people in charge at the club are going to think, well, this guy's not very committed to us. So it's just not a very healthy relationship. And I think the only people that, well, if Fulham want to wait it out and see if perhaps we sack Clarke because he's been disloyal to us anyway, then they win and Clarke wins and we're the only one that loses in this. I mean, really, it's a very fraught situation that I'm sure is going to have more twists and turns as the hours, minutes go by, to be honest.
Becky, is there any way back for Steve Clarke at Reading? Can you see a scenario where he stays at the club, certainly in the long term?
I think maybe long term, I don't know, but he's definitely got to start winning games if he does stay. I think that's going to be the big decider for like fans. He needs to do his best to try and get people back on his side, and yeah, just don't think he's created a particularly good situation for anyone, really.
Sim, we were chatting off the air about this on our Tarlehurst End chat, and you had some quite strong opinions against Clarke. Would you welcome him back?
I wouldn't really. He's lost the support of seemingly all the fans, judging by Twitter. I can't imagine the players will want to play for someone who's just been flirting with another job. Can't imagine the board would want him there after they've given him all this money to invest in the summer, and now he's effectively throwing it back in their faces. I wouldn't really want him at the club. All of his relationships with seemingly everyone at the club are damaged, and he hasn't got enough confidence in him to do his job realistically.
Well, one of the arguments is the fact that, you know, I put forward the case that it's now difficult for him to try and sign any players. If he tries to sign a player in January and sell him on a 2-3 year deal, the player's going to turn around and say, well, you might want to play me for 2-3 years, but you've been looking at other jobs. Why am I going to sign for you? And some people will say, oh, well, certain players are cynical, they're just here for the money, whatever. But I still think it's very hard, because certain players are attracted to a particular manager or a particular philosophy. It's going to be very difficult to sign a player. And then that player might turn around and say, well, yeah, well, you want to play me, but if you were off and a new manager comes in, suddenly I'm out in the cold. Mm. We've seen that with countless players in the past who have been favoured by one man and left out under another. So it's very difficult. And the players currently at the club as well, you've got Chris Gunter and Nick Blackman out of contract in the summer. Are they going to sign new deals? Are the manager's status uncertain? Are they going to hedge their bets? Maybe they'll think, I've got to move on. Maybe Nick Blackman's thinking, well, Fulham need another strikers player alongside McCormack. Maybe if Clark goes there, I can go there. It's just a massive set of instability, I think, for the football club. And it's so difficult to welcome him back and to continue the plans. Because how do you go on the training ground? How do you get players to give every single bit they've got for the club when the manager has been openly, well, I'm exploring other opportunities?
Yeah, it is difficult. And to be honest, it's something that they're going to have to figure out. I mean, like I say, if this had all been done behind closed doors and he just, you know, after training or something, popped along to the board and said, you know, I'm interested in this, we'll see what happens, then absolutely. But the fact that it's been done so publicly, and obviously that is the nature of these things in football, but the fact that he cancelled a press conference on Thursday morning, and as we believe is doing it now on Friday morning, so you can imagine what the hot topic of discussion is going to be there. We're not going to learn anything about the Bolton game, it's all going to be about him. It's a very difficult situation. Now, I mean, in terms of the squads, you don't know how he's going to be feeling about them or how they're going to be feeling about him, whether there's discontent in the dressing room even before this. It's a situation that you really can't see. It almost feels like it's gone too far. And now that he's trying to backtrack, I don't know that the players or the fans or even the board are going to want to accept him back easily anyway.
Becky, can you see an argument why a lot of fans are saying, well, why go to Fulham? Can you make any sort of argument as to why Fulham would be a more attractive proposition than Reading?
I don't know, really. I was talking to someone and they said that the attraction of London, but you can't get much closer to London than Reading.
Those 40 miles make all the difference.
Well, I don't know. Like I said before, the whole thing is just really bizarre. I think I tweeted something last night about saying that with Steve Clark there originally, it was like one step forward and then him going would be 10 steps back. I don't know, maybe now that he's staying, maybe you're like 20 steps back, because you're now in a totally like unstable situation, like maybe even rivaling what we were when there was the Holes and Garavich thing. So, yeah.
And this is the point of anger for a lot of fans, in that he was, and you mentioned it, he was given loads of money to rebuild the squad. He's obviously brought in a lot of loan players, spent a lot of money on a Vidra for a one-season loan deal.
Yeah.
So he's been reshaping the squad. And as, I can't believe I'm saying this, as Stephen Hunt so articulately put, he got rid of a lot of established backroom staff, the likes of Sal Bibbo and players and staff like that, to bring in his own team. And to turn around less than 6 months after doing that, it's just got to be so disheartening for the board.
Yeah, especially after the Nigel Adkins era, when a lot of people were unsure over the football style and the general philosophy. They wanted a fresh start, and in many ways the Clark era was a throwback to the McDermott tactics. It was a bit more straightforward, wasn't overcomplicating with sort of more passing style of football or anything. And this project that he was building, pretty much everyone was on board with it, and we're very optimistic about the future. He seemed to be very much at the heart of it with the players that he was bringing in, and to an extent the academy players that he was promoting, so it just seems like he's trying to undermine his own work as much as anyone else's, and obviously all the faith that's been shown in him.
Yeah, well, we'll get into much more about this. Obviously this is just a very brief podcast. I'll be speaking to Charles on the Podcast Extra tomorrow, hopefully also announcing our award win.
So,
Not counting, though.
See how much of a voice you've got tomorrow, and then, yeah, and then you'll be able to tell straight away.
Very much so. I will also be recording alongside, hopefully, Handbags and Westy, our main show on Monday, where we'll obviously look back on the Bolton game as well. Who knows where the situation goes by then. But in the meantime, we have got a few bits of reaction. We asked you for your tweets and thoughts. I'll start with Matt Castle on Twitter, who says, out of all the previous managers, who do you love to see back at the club? Who do you think would be best suited for our current squad and why? Personally, I'm keen on Koppel or Rodgers.
Oh.
Sharp intake of breath there. Not a lot of support for...
I think Rodgers now that he's had a bit of experience and now that he's probably learnt a few lessons... This isn't an endorsement of me wanting Brendan Rodgers back, by the way, because I can't imagine anything worse than his press conferences. But there would be worse candidates out there.
Sim, either of those do anything for you? Sir Steve or Brendan Mack?
I think the interesting thing with Rodgers is that after he got sacked by Reading, he has gone on the record as saying that the Reading sacking seemed to make him better as a manager. That experience with that under his belt, it's given him better experience for the future. So, yeah, he'd do better now, and he'd have the funds to change things around to a better extent than last time he was here, but I can't imagine the fans being on board.
Becky, so Steve, is it time to make a triumphant return? He's obviously not been in football for the last few years.
Would you really want to go back? Let's go back to that whole relationship thing. Would you want to go back to something that was the end of an era? And imagine if he came back and it just didn't work.
Yeah,
look at the legacies of people like Glenn Little and Dave Kitson who came back and did almost nothing.
Absolutely. Matt also goes on to ask, do you think that Clark leaving could have something to do with the Tyoners' reluctance to tie Clark down to a long-term contract? Job security is a huge factor. Well, this is the other point, isn't it? A lot of people are saying, well, is this just agent talk and is this posturing by Clark to get a big new deal? And we've seen it in the past, not deliberately so, but speculation does lead to new contracts. You look at Wayne Rooney a few years ago with United making murmurs that he might leave. Even Brian McDermott, was linked with the Wolves job. Whether he actually spoke to him, nobody knows, but he was very swiftly rewarded with a new deal.
The difference is, though, you didn't hear Wayne Rooney's flown over to Barcelona to have a word with Neymar and Messi and Pep Guardiola. And, you haven't heard Dermot's had a word with, is it Jez Moxie, who's up in charge of Wolves, or it was anyway. So that's very much the difference. Everything there was still behind the scenes, despite all the speculation. Whereas this sorry saga has played out in the public eye and it's taken so many twists and turns that I don't think anyone quite knows what to feel, to be honest. No one knows how they feel about the whole situation. If he's still on charge on Saturday, do you boo him? Do you praise the fact that he's turned down another club for us? I don't know.
Yeah, it is tricky. Any more reaction coming in? On the Twitterverse?
We've had a couple. The best candidate is and why, and the person you'd like least and why, that's from Brian Davis. Any quick thoughts aside from the old Reading guard?
I don't know. Do you know what? David Moyes has been linked, and I wouldn't say love, but I would be very happy with David Moyes, but I can't see him going to Reading. It would be a real rebuilding. And I think if you got someone like a Moyes, you would again be constantly thinking, and I tweeted this last night, that I always thought that Clark saw Reading as a stepping stone. Don't get me wrong, I don't think he was angling to get out from day one, but I always got the feeling that if a bigger club came back in for him, that he would go. And if Moyes came, again, I would just get that feeling that as soon as he did well with Reading, he'd be looking to get back to another level. I don't think you go from managing Man United to set, and, I mean, no offence to this, obviously I'm a Reading fan myself, but to go from Manchester United to Reading, it's long term, it's not what you want to do, unless, of course, you're sold on a project that, like Man City style, where we're going to spend as much as it takes to get to that level. And the ties have never gone anywhere near that level, so very unlikely. Moyes, other names, the likes of Pearson, it's in Sherwood, which sent a shiver up my spine. No thank you, Tim. Any other names?
Gilet Tim,
yeah.
That'd shift a few winter clotheslines, wouldn't it? Maybe that's why they'll get him in.
Gus Poyet linked as well. Saw some really random names on the bookies odds last night, the likes of Dennis Wise and Jurgen Klinsmann.
Yeah, I mean, they're just the names that they think, people put a cheeky fiver on that. And
absolutely.
No, actually, I've just flushed a fiver down the toilet.
What's very important to remember with bookmakers' odds is that one bet can shift the market quite significantly because they are quite narrow. Not a lot of people go and spend money on predictions to be next Reading manager. So it only takes one quite significant bet for the bookies to all short on the odds. If someone comes in with a grand on, I don't say Dennis Wise's odds are going to go down massively because the bookies aren't going to think, well, why on earth are they putting that money on? So it doesn't take a lot to shift a market like that. So always be aware of that. Gamble aware as well, especially. Anything else?
This is from Ian Phillips. What is going on? He sacked everyone. Can Clark win the fans back even if he stays and denies the interest?
I think, well, the interest has obviously been clear, I think, at this point. I think Becky had a good point, though. If he just starts winning, if Reading go and smash Bolton 5-0 on Saturday and they get back to winning ways and they start climbing the table, I don't know if fans aren't just going to go, well, okay, it's not a great situation, but it's a marriage we're going to have to live with. Sort of like you've broken up as a marriage, but you've still got the kids, you've still got the house. You need to make it work for the time being. It needs to be amicable. So I could certainly see a scenario where Clark muddles along and stays in the job, and especially if results go okay, then I think you just kind of say, look, just get on with it, but we're going to part ways probably in the summer or something when there's a better time for a break, or even in January. But
and just to add to this, Charles is now saying that Steve Clark is staying at Reading FC and has decided against moving to Fulham.
Wow. There you have it. In the space of this 15-20 minute podcast, Nina recorded.
I mean, whenever we got the group together last year at Christmas, and Nigel Adkins had been sacked an hour before that, so you always get the raw reactions when these management moves potentially happen.
Yeah. Well, look, we're going to bring it to a close here. Obviously, it's a situation, as I said right at the top of the show, that is very fluid. It's changing all the time. The best place to keep an eye on it is on the Tarlhurst End website, obviously on our Twitter feed as well. Obviously, a great big bulk of us are up here in Manchester for these awards, but we still have a few bodies back down south who are keeping the website up to date for us. Obviously, keep an eye on Charles Watts' Twitter as well. As mentioned, I will be speaking to Charles tomorrow after that press conference. Should be a fascinating hour or so with Steve Clark to find out exactly what happened and when and how the situation develops. Whether Steve Clark will be in the dugout on Saturday, I don't know. We don't know. It's all guesswork at the moment. But as I said, please keep your thoughts and opinions coming in. You can use the hashtag TTE podcast. We'll read out as many as possible on the show on Monday with myself, Handbags and Westy. You can always email us thetarlhurstend@gmail.com as well. So thank you very much for taking the time to listen to the show. I apologise it's slightly chaotic. I said there's only so much you can do when you're in the budget Ibis in Salford. We've done our very best. I'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, just keep the faith. Remember, no matter who's managing, the club will always be here. And that's the positivity we're going to go out on.
We can't have him back, can we? The positive one.
Dun, dun, dun. Nah, he's at Sheffield United. Anyway, that is the show done. Thank you very much for listening. As I said, tune in tomorrow for the podcast extra.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.